Welcome to the Startups Middle East podcast. I'm your host, Evrim, and I interview startup founders and people relevant to startups all around the Middle East. In this episode, I'm interviewing Alize de Tonac. Alize is the CEO and co-founder of SeedStars World, operating the biggest startup competition in emerging markets present in over 80 cities around the world. Alize was among the Forbes 30 Under 30 Europe 2017 in the social entrepreneurship category and was nominated as an Innovation Fellow by Wired UK. Here's the interview. Alize, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So we'll talk about SeedStars, but could you tell us a little bit about your background first?
Yes. Not much before SeedStars actually, but I grew up a bit around the world in Singapore, the States, and Europe, and from there I did some business and management studies to join one of the big cosmetic groups for 2 years as a product manager, and quickly realizing that I wanted to provide more value and maybe have a more entrepreneurial experience. So this is back in 2013, where I was very lucky to meet with my co-founders, and we put in place SeedStars.
Great. So for listeners who don't know what SeedStars is, could you explain it to us?
So SeedStars is an organization that has for mission to have an impact in emerging markets. And we really believe we're at this time in the world where technology and entrepreneurship is really taking a rise and can make a sustainable difference in these economies. So for that, we have two main activities. On one side, we have built a community to really not only leverage to meet great entrepreneurs and businesses, but also to have them connect with one another. So in this community, for example, we operate now the biggest startup competition in emerging markets. We're present in over 80 cities around the world. But at the same time, we have a community app. We organize different summits, events, workshops around the thematics to support these entrepreneurs and impact investors. And on the other side, we have more of our investment activities where we operate different accelerator and venture builder programs to not only invest, but also prototype and build ventures on the ground in these markets.
Mm-hmm. So why emerging markets, and how did you come up with the idea of starting SeedStars?
Back in 2013, we did our first world tour. It was in 20 countries at that time. And when we went on the ground, it was so obvious. And it was kind of like, why aren't we here already? In terms of just kind of the big macro numbers, where over 85% of the population is located in emerging markets, most of them are connected by mobile phone, and the half of the global GDP is now in emerging markets. So it suddenly made so much sense that how we had defined before kind of the West and the rest, well, the rest was kind of taking over the West, and we wanted to be a part of it. Mm. And more at a more personal level, we are all extremely curious and love traveling and understanding these different cultures. So it was also a great opportunity to participate more at a global level.
I see. So let's say I'm a startup founder in the Middle East. How can SeedStars help me? What are some programs that you offer to startups?
So I think in due time, hopefully we'll have more. But before anything, we have the competition, and the competition allows you not only to access this network of unbelievable entrepreneurs and our alumni network, but also all our key private and public partners. So corporate partners like NL, BBVA, so banks and different corporates from industries that go from healthcare to food and agritech. Which I think is really fundamental for many of the businesses to scale. Mm-hmm. So it's really accessing this network with the prizes and the potential investments that go with it. And in the Middle East region, we are we also put the North African region. We're in I think in nearly 10 cities. So they can definitely apply for the competition. We've launched also our co-working spaces, which is an extension of the network online to offline. And so we are opening up in Casablanca and Cairo, and hopefully we'll be also opening up in the Middle East. And so that's another way to engage with our community. So these are kind of the two immediate ways that I see. But then we do a lot of on-demand workshops, programs with our corporate and government partners to support the local ecosystem in due time.
I see. So you mostly help early stage startups, or what stage do you usually help startups?
We're quite early stage. So the criteria, for example, for the competition is less than 2 years, less than $500,000 in investment with a minimum viable product. And the reality is that the quality applications usually have a bit of funding, but more importantly, already have some form of traction and are on the market, especially if they're ICT startups. So that's kind of the criteria. Now that we have a bigger and bigger alumni base, we are also representing a network of later stage companies. But it's true that we really want to participate where there is quite a big gap in supporting these early stage businesses to scale successfully.
So do you guys invest in startups yourselves, or do you have a network of investors that invest in SeedStar startups?
Both. So we not only as SeedStars invest, but we also have we represent and manage, in the sense that we really try to connect and see the potential synergies between our community of investors and the startups that we meet.
How many startups have you guys invested in so far? And are there some success stories you would be able to share with us?
So in for the first years, we only did one investment. And then since last year, we're doing on average 10 investments, because we put in place our first global acceleration program. And we also have the businesses that we prototype on the ground, or we co-develop with our partners. So I think in total, the portfolio should be around 30. If I'm not mistaken. And then in terms of successes, it's tough because it's still a track record of 3 years. So we don't have any big exits. We have some small exits of businesses where we didn't necessarily invest in, that have sold their business or merged with another company and are doing quite well. We have companies that have raised 15, 20 million and are continuing to grow. But I don't have a unicorn story, and I have a massive exit with a massive industry player. So that will take a bit more time.
I understand. How about the Global Accelerator Program? Could you give us some more details about it?
So basically, what we're trying to do next is see kind of best ways to support these businesses. And one program would be especially the finalists of the competition. So this year, if I'm not mistaken, we're in 65 countries, so we have 65 finalists. We are discussing with several of them the opportunity to be accelerated, so to join a 3 month program in which we support them, give them a more in-depth support, may it be technical, may it be business related. And more importantly, we leverage the network that we have with our corporates and investors to get them to the next level.
And the accelerator happens in Switzerland, or...?
It's kicked off at the regional summits, and it closes at the global summit in Switzerland. We kept it as virtual as possible because it doesn't make sense to have people relocate to Switzerland. We are brainstorming the idea maybe to have them come in a bit longer than a week, but it's not necessarily that the value added for us.
I see. What is your opinion on the Middle East startup ecosystem? I mean, both the good and the bad.
The good, the bad, the ugly.
Yeah.
So we've met some really passionate entrepreneurs, a lot of social entrepreneurs, which surprised, I remember, some investors or partners that wanted to look into some of the companies, but a lot that have been around really trying to support minorities or people that have different disabilities and how they can better interact with the different infrastructure and ecosystems. We have a lot around education. So really these passionate entrepreneurs that are trying to solve massive challenges or big issues that are not necessarily the sexiest industries to be in. There's a lot going around fintech and how to tackle the Arab world, which is really interesting right now. And so you have a great pool of engineers that we saw in Iran or Egypt, for example, which was quite impressive to see the kind of talents that were present. Every government is waking up or has for the past couple of years trying to not only source international talent, but build a very strong local ecosystem to build, which is their primary goal, more jobs, but also to become a global player in a niche sector. So that's very interesting to see how the Middle East, this region will play out. Then I think it's still very nascent. So with the nascent ecosystems, you still see a lot of those of the copycats. You still see the immaturity of the discussions with the entrepreneurs when it comes to the term sheets or the business model or how they want to market it. Same goes with the investors who traditionally are less acquainted to this ecosystems and taking risks. So, for example, they're going to ask unreasonable things to the entrepreneur, thinking this is a real estate deal and it's not at all the same thing. So that you also see the whole education part on the entrepreneur and the investor side that still needs to evolve.
Hey there, it's Ivram again. I hope you're enjoying the interview. Before we continue, though, I have a quick announcement to make. I'm the founder of a startup called Automated Hotel, and we're working on redefining the guest experience in the hospitality industry. The guest experience is still very traditional in hotel rooms. Print menus and marketing materials, phone calls for requests. We are developing in-room tablets that allow hotel guests to manage their stay and request services from the hotel while helping the hotel collect insightful guest data and save staff time. No matter where you're listening to this from, if you're a software developer with experience in React Native or Ruby on Rails, or if you're an investor interested in investing in an opportunity like this, or if you're just interested in the idea and would like to connect with me, I'd love to hear from you. You can get in touch with me at ivram@automatedhotel.com. It's ivram@automatedhotel.com. Or by sending a message through the contact form on startupsmiddleeast.com. All right, back to the interview. So you mentioned copycat startups, but one other thing that I see is other entities that are copycats of more established startup ecosystems. So there are a lot of people who want to copy exactly what other more established ecosystems are doing and just do it right here without actually thinking if it makes sense to do those things here. What do you think is a good way to create a genuine and original startup ecosystem that works here or locally? It's a bit of a difficult question. I know it's a bit vague, but you know, just in your general opinions on that.
So you do see a lot of the government's approach to tackling entrepreneur investment and VC in general, and it's true that there is a lot of copying. It doesn't worry me to the extent that it's really part of the learning curve. Same with the startup ecosystem, where you see everyone copying business models that worked elsewhere and really trying to localize it to the local taste. But then more and more the ecosystem evolves and you start seeing hopefully successful stories that reinvest and take more risk in riskier industries and in more disruptive models. So I think for more the at a national level and the bigger institutions, there is that there is that kind of similarity. It's just it takes much, much longer with much more bureaucracy and the complications of the political changes where you feel like you're restarting from zero many times. But I think one must be very conscious that you don't replicate Silicon Valley. You don't replicate because it's already it took tens of years and not a couple of years to be built. And then there are the strengths and weaknesses, the obstacles that are very local and that need to be adapted. But then again, it's so comforting to see when there is any effort made that they learn from the mistakes and that they channel the funding in a more appropriate way over the years is what we need to see now. But it's still more positive for me than negative.
Mm-hmm. So you have been in the Middle East many times. If you could snap your finger and change one thing in the ecosystem, what would you choose? What would you improve?
I don't have one thing in mind that like jumps to me.
What I'm trying to get at is when you come here, what do you think is the most missing part? Do you think there should be more focus on raising on entrepreneurial mindset, or there should be more investors, more money going on?
So naively, the one thing that I wish could change automatically in any region that I go to actually is the appetite of risk and the appetite of failure, because you really sense it in any discussion, may it be with on the government side, on the investor side, or the startup side, that fear, and it can be for societal reasons, for economical reasons, for cultural reasons. There is always that huge fear that impedes a lot on the capability of going faster and doing bigger things locally.
Yeah,
not something that I could pinpoint only on the Middle East region. Sincerely, apart from a couple of ecosystems in the world, there is such a heritage that's embedded in the culture and the DNA that makes it very difficult.
No, that's a very good answer. I completely agree. That's something very much needed here as well. Another thing about emerging markets is I can see a lot of startups that are locally, regionally successful. But in terms of creating startups that can compete globally, there's a bit of an issue there. I'm talking about ideas like companies like Apple or Microsoft, or more recent startups like Slack. We don't really have products like that coming up from these parts of the world. Obviously, we need to compete with those startups from those more established ecosystems. Mm-hmm. How can you manage that if you want to create a startup that is applicable globally? Do you think it's likely that it's not easy, obviously, but how would you go about doing something like that? What would your opinion on that? What is your opinion on that?
I think we need to, it will take time. More than the Middle East, the Arab world is a huge potential that is still very much untapped, and that I think it will come from these regions, the next big players. No one expected the rise of Asia that quickly, and now all the more and more the unicorns are coming out of China, which is easier to say, and maybe by default, seeing the size of the population and the economic growth. But I think really it will come also because the weight of the region in the whole will get bigger. So the potential of the Arab world is huge. And then It takes time. It takes time. Mm-hmm. And so the ecosystems are not yet equipped to manage to follow on with the funding for such unicorn companies. But that's, again, I don't see why it would be completely stopped. And there is unbelievable talent coming from from around the world that is in Silicon Valley, because that is where they have the opportunities. But they are not of American nationality. So the talent is for sure everywhere. Mm-hmm. Now, how quickly will it take for the ecosystem and the infrastructure to be put in place in those regions for these talents to stay and grow a global company from home, if I may say so? I wouldn't know. I'm not against it.
Mm-hmm. So you said that you have high hopes for the Arab world to create the next big startup ecosystem, or create an established ecosystem. What are some cities that you are watching closely in the Arab world or in the Middle East in general?
At SeedStars, we're very much interested in Egypt, for example, which we think is a huge market. And again, in terms of talent and especially on the tech side, we've seen some really interested things. So that's why also we decided to quickly put a base in Cairo to put in place the hub and try to see how we could participate in the growth. So that typically was a reflection that we had.
Mm-hmm. So we're coming to the end of the allocated time. If you don't mind, I have some more personal questions. Mm-hmm. So, for example, how do you manage your time? Are there any tools or methodologies that you use? You travel a lot, as far as I know. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So that's another challenge.
Yeah. I kind of suck at it and wish I could do a better job. I try to optimize. I try to do to-do lists. I try to better prioritize. So really keep the minutes that make a difference in the day and in the business. I try to keep my mornings open to stay productive, because if not, you're overwhelmed with the calls and the emails. Mm. But no, I do not have a recipe for success, and I don't think I'm the example.
You're being very modest. Yeah. So how about stress? How do you handle stress? Because this is not like a 9-to-5 job. There are a lot of ups and downs. How do you have any habits or anything that you used for handling stress?
So again, I can give you a really nice storytelling answer that I wake up at 6 and take a green smoothie and do 1 hour of meditation and eat healthy and sleep 8 hours and whatever. But so I get stressed a lot and I still need to manage my stress. Mm-hmm. I do see the positive effects of no sleep deprivation in my productivity. And mm-hmm. I do see the positive effects of eating well and doing meditation. But I have been incapable of systematically doing it. And this is part of my 2018 resolution. So maybe in a couple of months, we can reconnect to see if I was a success.
Sure. I'm also really interested in meditation too. Like my personality, it feels like it's not so suited to that, because my mind is always active. It's really difficult to shut down, but that's the whole point. And maybe I should just suck it up and just try to do it for, a month or so at least without giving up.
Yeah. If that's apparently what they say, if you do it at least 2 months without giving up, you'll see the effects.
Yeah, definitely. What is something that you're not very good at that you would like to improve about yourself?
I'm not very good in brainstorming sessions, and I would like to improve, because I'm such an operational person that as soon as people go too far-fetched, which is kind of the objective of a brainstorm where you present all possibilities or the impossible, I quickly go back down to the reality of the operations and how it can be or not feasible. So that's kind of my big thing this year, is how do I better participate in brainstorm and more strategic sessions of long-term kind of milestones.
Interesting answer. Okay. Can you name some of the resources that helped you throughout your journey, you know, helping startups, or, you know, in general, it could be about, you know, some resources that helped you become the person you've become today. They can be books or blogs or websites or even people.
So definitely people. I really believe I'm the addition of those closest to me, which are my partners and colleagues at C-Stars and the few friends and family. So that really is who I am. So choose them wisely. Mm-hmm. That would be my suggestion, because you have little time and they really make up who you are. Then in terms of resources, more pragmatically in SeedStars, we actually use a lot because we're still in many ways a startup. So and we propose all these kind of softwares and services that we've used to grow in terms of HR, in terms of accounting, in terms of task management, in terms of internal communication. We propose it to the startups that participate in the competition, and we give them kind of the list of what has really helped us in scaling. So there are many that we use. And then more personally, I'm very American in the sense that I love role models and those very powerful quotes that you keep in your mind. I have about, I don't know how many every day, so it never stops. And right now I'm kind of obsessed with the producers of Big Little Lies, because I find them very impressive women and what they have built. Yesterday I was reading a whole article of Jeff Bezos in Amazon on kind of how he was prioritizing and organizing his meetings. So every day, we're very fortunate to access this amount of information from such quality people. I try to read a bit or watch a bit from those that have created their own story and path, and see how it could help me, or the words could make sense to me that day to move forward.
Definitely, I agree. I'm a big believer in reading experiences of other people that have succeeded in the things that you're trying to succeed at. That really helped me a lot so far. Definitely.
Yes.
So how can people find you on the internet?
SeedStars, say LinkedIn, but SeedStars really is the best way.
Okay. So just go to seedstars.com.
Yeah. The seedstars.com, and you have all the emails, and it quickly comes back to us. I mean, it's really the team behind. So definitely. And then if really they want to talk to me personally, there's LinkedIn.
Great. Aliza, thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time to do the interview.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the questions.
Thanks a lot for listening to this episode of the Startups Middle East podcast. You can see the show notes and find out more about the podcast at startupsmiddleeast.com. If you like this episode, I'd love for you to subscribe, rate, or give a review on iTunes. Until next time.